If you would kindly look in your Bibles to the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 7, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 14. Verse 14 is, of course, a very familiar passage, a messianic passage that most of us, if not all of us, have heard many times, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount and attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the word of the Lord. Well, a little bit of context, or a lot of context. Isaiah, who is the author of this prolific Old Testament book, it is a prophetic book, to say the least, a preeminent prophetic book. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah took to pen and parchment and wrote as the Holy Spirit was upon him to do. He was a prophet in Jerusalem, the southern part of a now divided kingdom. There is no united state of Israel, but it's been divided into a southern kingdom called Judah, with Jerusalem as its capital and the northern part of the nation that split is still called Israel. It's composed of 10 of the 12 tribes. The other two tribes, they resided in the southern kingdom. Just to state that historical fact, that there was a divided nation, says a lot about the context in which we will be speaking from. Division is often not good. And division among God's people certainly is not a good thing. For nearly 200 years, the once and great United Nation of Israel was divided, as I mentioned, into two separate nations. A little bit more of a historical context in 2 Chronicles, which is one of the historical books of the Old Testament, chapter 28, the first two verses, gives us some information about Ahaz that we don't have in the seventh chapter of Isaiah. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. May I ask you, if you're older than 20, do you remember being 20 years old? And were we ready to be kings or queens at 20 years old? Probably not. He reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. The Bible says something very direct about Ahaz. It says he did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, which probably tells us or gives us some indication as what we will be discovering as we probe through this text. As his ancestor David had done, he had a great lineage and great examples before him, but he chose to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Instead of following his ancestor David and others, Ahaz followed the example of the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, who had fallen into idol worship. The last clause of verse 2 says, he cast metal images for the worship of Baal. King Ahaz did not please the Lord during his reign, as our text tells us. He was, in fact, a wicked man who perpetrated the horrendous practice of child sacrificing. He even sacrificed his two sons in the fire, burned them alive. Further, King Ahaz introduced the worship of the false gods of the pagan nations, even their neighboring nation, Israel, rather than the worship of the one true God of Israel, Yahweh. Interestingly enough, a little bit more about him personally. He was the father of King Hezekiah, whom most of you have probably heard of. And what is interesting about this is that as wicked as Ahaz was, Hezekiah was righteous. Hezekiah would go on to become one of the most famous and the most godly kings of Judah. Under the wicked reign of King Ahaz, Judah was constantly threatened. And they often were attacked by more powerful neighboring nations, according to 2 Kings chapter 15, particularly verse 29. One of these nations happened to be the powerful nation of Assyria, world renowned. And because of the oppression of the Assyrian people against the people of Judah, the people of Judah were then forced into paying an oppressive tribute, or what we might call a tax, to the particular benefit of the king of Assyria, as typically was. This tribute was nothing short of a raid of the treasures of the people and the land of which was taken into servitude. Natural resources were plundered. Natural resources of gold and silver and tin was common, the historical record tells us. Resources that were natural to these respective regions, resources such as horses, mules and even the respective kings or conquered kings' personal fortunes were all required at the hand of the oppressing king. Well, if we look into this with a little bit of an eye for redaction, we can say that there is a very high cost to rebellion. There certainly was a very high cost to the people of Judah and to Ahaz. Well, what's going on in this text? You've got a little bit of a background. In an attempt to thwart or stop the constant pillage of their goods and regain their independence, the king of Syria, who also was one of these nations who was at the mercy of Assyria, the king of Syria wanted both Israel and Judah to form an alliance between themselves, and together they would fight the Assyrians. It makes sense. Three less powerful nations joining together in an effort to stop the Assyrians from their constant plundering of their resources and subjugation of their people. But Ahaz, the king of Judah, he refused the offer. He refused the offer of an alliance. In response to the refusal of King Ahaz, the kings of both Israel and Syria, they said, okay, well, we will overthrow King Ahaz. He will no longer be a king. We will replace him with another king, someone who would be friendly toward us and who would join our cause. Verse 2 says that when the house of David was told, that's Judah, when they were told that Syria is in league or cooperating with Ephraim, who is, and that is a name that's often given to the nation of Israel, the Bible says the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. In other words, they were terrified. He's had enough trouble as it is. But now the two nations who had acted friendly towards him initially and extended an invitation to join them, to unify together and fight against a common enemy, these two nations now had turned against him and wanted to dethrone him and take over. Everyone in Judah, including King Ahaz, was overcome with tremendous fear. Well, how would you and I feel if we believed that there were two nations that formerly were friendly towards the United States, if we found out, that is, the United States found out through surveillance and intelligence, that they were planning to attack us and overthrow our government, and it was likely to succeed? There would be great concern, not only among our government officials, but certainly among the people of America. Now, verse 2, there's a metaphor here, and what this speaks of is when the text speaks about trees shaking, it's talking about the vulnerability of Judah. You know what vulnerability means, that you're exposed. And with the right or the wrong exposure in front of the right people, it could be a problem. The vulnerability and the ultimate weakness of the trees in the forest against these powerful winds speaks of the power of these nations. And it speaks of the vulnerability of Judah. They were likely, like these trees in a high wind, they were likely to fall. Ahaz in the house of David was exposed, and they know it. But what can they do? I mean, your resources are your resources. You can't just manufacture resources. You can't manufacture more gold overnight. It's been taken. You can't pay for or barter with a fourth nation with resources you don't have. There is no one on earth that they can turn to. May I ask you, have you ever felt alone in your troubles? Have you ever felt vulnerable? How can I make this work? I don't understand this material I'm supposed to study for this test. I'm at my wit's end. No one can take it for me, of course. I must pass this exam. I must have enough income in my retirement. I must be able to keep my job. Verse 3 through 7, there's a response. What is wonderful about this text is that there is a response from God. If you will take your circumstance to the Lord, the Lord will respond. Now, there's no mention here that King Ahaz goes to the Lord. The Lord speaks to Ahaz because he knows what's going on. The Lord doesn't wait for us necessarily to bring him up to date what's going on in our life. God knows. And so God speaks. He says to Isaiah the prophet, go out to meet Ahaz. Take your son with you. Sheer Yashub. At the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. That's pretty detailed instruction. If you don't think God knows what's going on in your life, just read that sentence again. If you don't think God knows where the corner of Main Street is with First Avenue, he does. If you don't think God knows where West Pleasant Ridge intersects with Little Road, he does. If you don't believe that God, or if you're ever doubt that God doesn't know your address? God does. And say to him when you get there, be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. And do not let your heart faint because of these two smoldering firebrands. What does wood or some other material, what is it doing when it's smoldering? It means that the fire is going out. These guys aren't champions anymore. Isaiah is telling Ahaz for the Lord who's instructing him. At the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Now the Lord heard their secret conversations. You know, Richard Nixon many years ago got in trouble because he had some conversations that should not have been recorded. By the way, those of you who are much younger than me, he used to be the President of the United States. God heard the conversation. My friends, let me tell you, there's nothing done secretly, particularly against God's people, that God's not going to do something about. God will intercept those plans. God knew specifically what they said and played back for Ahaz the very words that these two conspiring kings had said. Let us go up against Judah. Let us terrify it, number two. Let us conquer it for ourselves, number three. And let us set up Tabael as king in the midst of it. And then the Lord says, then that's what they said. The Lord says, now here's what I'm saying. This won't happen. This won't happen. May I say to you, and some of us, although I know that you're all wonderful people, and you've never ever had an enemy or someone who's disliked you, but may I say to you, if that ever does happen, no matter how intricate their plans are for your demise, God hears those plans and God will make a way of escape for you. The Lord says it will not come to pass because even though King Ahaz and Judah are full of fear and dread, in the eyes of the Lord God, these enemies are only smoldering firebrands. In other words, they're nothing compared to what I can do. In the eyes of God, their fire has been reduced to nothing but smoke. In God's eyes, they are weaker than they may appear to be in the eyes of Judah and King Ahaz. Let me remind you of something. Take note that what men say and what God says about life's circumstances are often different. Our perspective is skewed by our circumstances, but God is above our circumstances. And he wants us to see our circumstances as he sees them. And the Lord says that in so many words to King Ahaz when he says this. You do not need to fear these two kings, is what he is basically saying. Their bark is bigger than their bite. Verses 8 and 9. For the head of Syria is Damascus. This is nothing, not new information. And the head of Damascus is Rezin. In other words, he's the king. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. They won't even exist. And the head of Ephraim, or Israel, is Samaria. That's the capital. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. That's their king. In other words, the two opposing kings, they are confined to their current kingdoms. Their kingdoms, as the Lord has already said, it's not going to happen. Their kingdoms will not expand. They will not grow at the expense of the kingdom of Judah. This is God's people, and it will not happen. Well, Ahaz is listening to all this, and I'm sure in his mind he's saying, this all sounds great. How will we know it's real? How will we know what will happen? How will they know they can trust God? And what God's saying through Isaiah, God will confirm what God has said by giving him a sign. Interestingly enough, Ahaz didn't ask the Lord for a sign. And when he was invited to give the Lord a sign, he says, I will not test the Lord by asking for a sign. The Lord says, I'll give you one anyway. Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol, that's hell, or as high as heaven. But Ahaz says, I will not ask. and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Why would God call King Ahaz wearisome? Because he knew that neither Ahaz nor the people of Judah would listen to, would believe, and obey the words of God's prophet Isaiah. Now, there's something in this text. Those of you who are very perceptive, let me address it. Clause 2, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Well, for those who've been, of us who read this, we kind of wondering, the Lord God is the God of Ahaz? He's a believer? Is he a worship of Yahweh? It's not what the text is saying. The Bible also very clearly told us what kind of a person Ahaz was. He was evil. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It may sound like a curious thing for the Lord to say to the wicked King Ahaz, the Lord your God, but it's true when you think about it. The Lord is God over everybody. Whether you're wicked or whether you are righteous, the Lord is God and will still be God. No matter who you are. This is God in God's sovereignty. The Lord your God. In other words, I'm your boss, whether you like it or not. If God can be God over a sinful kingdom of Judah, God can certainly be God over a wicked king of Ahaz. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. You didn't ask for one, but I'm going to give you one. So build your faith. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Ahaz knew what that meant. What a word of hope. In a time of hopelessness. What a timely thing for God to say. What a timely visit. God coming at the right time and speaking to Ahaz. Entering into Ahaz's world. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel. This is to me no ordinary child. Now we should be reminded of three words in this verse that have some significance. Well, they all have significance, but significance to what I'm saying. One is the word therefore. Therefore is a word of conclusion. Therefore. This is the conclusion to the problem that Ahaz has. Therefore. Second, we have the word behold. Spurgeon calls it a word of wonder. Behold. We hear that many times, particularly in the Christmas story. Look. So look with amazement. And the third word is the word virgin, which is interpreted Alma in Hebrew and Parthenos in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament. Now, there's a lot of controversy about the exact meaning and the usage of this term virgin, which I won't get into all the fighting that goes on with theologians. I'll just reduce it to say that all theologians can agree that the term at least means young woman. And let it suffice at that. And as I pondered this text, I also came to my own conclusion that the double fulfillment of this verse in Matthew 1 and also Luke 1 will probably shed more light on the meaning of this term, or at least what God had in mind. Although the identity of this virgin, you can search through this text all you want, and you will not come up with a clear identification of who this virgin is that Isaiah is referring to. And neither will you be able to come to a clear conclusion as to who this son is. There's a lot of speculation for both, but it's a mystery. Before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. In verse 16 of our chapter, these two neighboring nations who have now become enemies, they will be taken care of. And there's a timeline before the child knows the difference between good and evil. It won't be long, in other words. These nations will be dealt with. Note that the Lord is saying before the child reaches a certain age of maturity, the nations that have oppressed the land of Judah, they will be no more. God will have done God's work. In other words, God will provide a savior. God will intervene on behalf of God's people. And let me move to my close. What the Lord is telling King Ahaz and the entire nation of Judah, in essence, is they should not fear but trust. If we were to take a 20,000 foot view of this text. By divine guidance, Isaiah uses the term alma, which can refer to a young unmarried woman or a young unmarried virgin. It facilitates the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. What we have here is a double fulfillment of this particular verse. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. Not only would a virgin give birth to one in the time of Ahaz, who would quiet the revolting nations, but several hundred years later, another virgin named Mary would miraculously give birth to a son whose name also would be called Emmanuel, God with us. What was concealed in the Old Testament, remember I said there is no clear answer as to who this son born was in Isaiah 7. And there is no clear indication who the virgin was either. What was concealed in the Old Testament has been revealed in the New Testament. Emmanuel, or God with us, is no longer a mystery, but Christ has fully revealed to us who God is. Well, if you're doubting that, let me give you a couple passages. Jesus is the wonderfully unique person born who did not take on a new person when he was born. Every baby that's born is a new person, but not Jesus. Why? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Colossians 1:15 reminds us, concerning Christ, he is the image of the invisible God. In other words, Jesus allows us to see the invisible God. Colossians continues by saying, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16, and he is the beginning, the firstborn, not created. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He is the Savior, not a Savior. He is the Savior. What is the word? What's the takeaway? Don't look for human deliverance from the Assyrians, Ahaz. Don't look for to be rescued from Israel, Ahaz. Don't look to be saved from Syria, Ahaz. Look for divine deliverance. Look for God to intervene in the affairs of the kingdom of Judah, who is no less than the people of God. In the concurring fulfillment in the New Testament, God has come in Christ to be our help and our salvation, one who will deliver his people from their oppression. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to be born a man, and he breaks the enemy's stronghold. He will indeed make all things brand new. Ahaz, St. John, look to the Lord, who alone can and will deliver us out of all of our troubles. May all of God's people say amen.